The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doc. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hi there, it's Julia Ray, and thanks for joining Gunnar and I for episode 6 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Back to School.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for watching Making It Matter, a bi-monthly podcast with your hosts Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com. Highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Gunnar and I both have cystic fibrosis, we are remaining compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype.
This podcast is made possible by an unrestricted educational grant from Novartis to the Boomer Esiason Foundation. So today, Julia, we're going to talk about back to school. It's the end, sort of the end of August here, and everyone knows that it's really the worst time of the year, but we still have things to talk about. Unfortunately, you and I are done with school, but for those who are still stuck, this is our tips for them. So today, let's start with middle school, younger kids. Do you have any tips that you like to give to our listeners or the families of our listeners?
Yeah, I think establishing opening communication lines is so important, not only between student and teacher, but just across the board in the school so that everyone's on the same page from day one.
Yeah, I remember back to when I was younger in school, all of my teachers knew that I had CF, and all of my peers knew too. They definitely didn't look down upon me for having CF, and they didn't treat me any differently. I think it was more of just a safety factor. My parents definitely were concerned with obviously me being away from home for 8 hours a day and being around schools which are undoubtedly gross. I still work in high school, so I mean these places are disgusting. They're breeding ground for germs. Every kid has a runny nose, it seems like, for the months of November to February. I think it's important to let the school nurse know, obviously, but teachers, other students, families, especially when playdates roll around. That's definitely the biggest thing that I look back to in middle school days.
For sure. I think also establishing age-appropriate responsibility, because at middle school I think it's important for the child to feel like a kid without CF getting in the way, but also making sure they're taking responsibility for certain aspects of their care and the relationships there. Fostering in school too.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, I think I remember back to my experience. I know every school is a little different, but my middle school, elementary school, they let me carry my pills around so that I was able to take them during lunchtime, and the responsibility really fell to me rather than the school nurse. And I think that was a really good, healthy experience for me, because I learned from early age the importance of the pills, the importance to remember when to take enzymes, how to take enzymes, in public. I learned that from really early age rather than having to go to the nurse's office or something like that. So I think that also goes along with the open lines of communication that you were talking about a little earlier. But I think also another topic to cover here is establishing a safe environment. So we talked about the bacteria, germs, viruses that go on in school, in schools daily. And I think that there's really, you know, a lot you can do, and there's not a lot that you can do. Obviously, everyone's going to get sick. It happens. But I think it's important to really impress upon the teacher or the instructor that, you know, obviously if you're going to partner kids up, it's not a good idea to partner up a CF kid with someone who has a history of being sick or who doesn't really take care of themselves very well.
Right. Yeah. Making sure that the care of the CF patient and student is like top in everyone's mind.
Exactly. You know, I wouldn't necessarily say it needs to be, you know, the number one priority for the instructor of the day.
There's obviously
a million things that the person has to think about, but I think it's at least if the instructor knows or whoever is in charge of the CF kid at that moment, it's really something important for
precautionary.
Exactly, and I definitely gave my parents a peace of mind. And then the other thing that I always remember was that I always was vaccinated. At least in my personal experience, vaccines were a huge part of my my childhood. I was vaccinated against everything, and my parents took the ultimate most, you know, precautions against everything and anything to make sure that my health came first. And as far as things go for younger kids, vaccinations and the early TB test and things like that were always a primary point of concern before going back to school. You know, I always had the yearly physical, like right around now in August.
Yep. Especially, and not only just for CF patients, but school students in general. I mean, I'm pro-vaccine, so just making sure that everyone's safe is
totally
important.
100%. So now then on to high school. I know you had a little bit of a unique high school experience, so I guess I'm the person of some authority here.
Expertise.
So why don't you tell us about your high school experience to begin with?
Sure. I cyber schooled for much of my high school experience, which means I took all my courses online. But I did go to high school for 1 year. So I feel like I got the gist of it.
I loved high school. High school was like my favorite 4 years of my life. Like when I look back on high school, I think of the movie American Pie. Like that movie is like everything that I envisioned my high school experience being. Obviously it wasn't, but that's what I envisioned myself coming straight out of the movie American Pie when I was in high school.
That is very impressive, I think, for a high school experience.
Oh, unreal. No, yeah. See, I loved high school. I think that's probably why I still work in a high school. That's why I coach high school hockey. But yeah, no, so I, you know, looking back to high school, a lot of the same things that were going on in middle school, we obviously took care of when we went on to high school. Most of my teachers knew that I had CF. All the proper administrators did, the school nurse did, obviously. I had a pretty good open dialogue with those people. But then I also recognized that as I got to high school, sports became more important. You know, it wasn't just gym class anymore. Rather, it was school sanctioned sports every single day after high school and including Saturdays. So we always made sure to tell the coach. I know that's always a pretty big stress point for CF families, whether or not they tell their coach is the playing time going to decrease, increase based on the fact that someone has CF. And in my experience with it, that never really had a basis on whether or not I played at, you know, in high school you earn your playing time. So I don't think it's a negative to tell the coach that you have CF. If anything, it's a precaution, because I think especially in my days in football practice, I remember there was one instance when we were conditioning and we were being run into the ground after a hard practice, and then I kind of just keeled over and started coughing up blood. But because the coaches knew that I had CF, they all knew how to respond. They knew what to do.
Right.
They got the, you know, the trainer came. Everyone was on the same page. No one freaked out, and the situation was handled. And then I was back in practice a week later. So I think that was definitely one major benefit to telling people that I had CF in high school.
Yeah, I certainly understand the that situation on a different end of the spectrum, which is I was already doing professional theater productions in high school. Mm-hmm. And I actually would never tell my directors, because I was on an auditioning, and I wanted them to know that I could handle the role. Mm-hmm. But eventually it would come out throughout the run or whether we were rehearsing and I needed to excuse myself or something. And I only garnered respect from them when they found out. So I understand why it's difficult to bring it up in those situations, but it is important to, I think it is important to be transparent.
Yeah, you know, I think it's definitely difficult, especially for the first time that you tell someone. My parents were always super open about it. I mean, from me being on Sports Illustrated, that was like, I was always out there. So I think it was a really easy call for them, because they just told my coaches right away before I even had a chance to do anything different. I mean, I was 14 years old as a freshman in high school, so I didn't really have a choice in the matter. And since they did that for me, I, from that point on, I really never had an issue telling someone that I had CF or have a hesitancy to tell someone that I have CF, because I know that for the most part, it's going to be received with open arms and respect and sympathy even. I think that was definitely a good call by my parents. And then the other thing that I really want to talk about in high school or bring up is for standardized testing. There was one instance when I was taking the ACT my junior year of high school. I happened to have mono, but at the time was undiagnosed. So I actually fell asleep during the test itself, and I told my mom. My mom basically had a panic attack. She thought I wasn't going to go to college, this whole thing, because I was going to fail the ACT. So from that point on, we decided that it would be best for me to get my standardized testing accommodations done. And all that took was a doctor's note. And from that point on, I had accommodations, and that made the standardized testing process a little more fair, I think.
Which then made your entrance into college possible.
Yes, exactly. Well, yeah, I'd like to think that I could still get into college without having the testing accommodations, but it definitely gave me a level playing field. And I didn't have extra time or anything like that in the tests. I would say that I had the ability to go to the bathroom if needed. I had the ability to have extra drink with me or a snack or something like that. The ability to take pills if I needed to take a pill or something like that. So everyone knows these standardized tests are super rigid with the way they're run. And that's, I think that's why everyone hates them so much. To the point where we now make the loser of our fantasy football league take an SAT after he loses, which is unreal. Making a 25-year-old kid take an SAT.
That is great.
It's the best thing ever. But yes, yeah, so my mom always says, if you're going to lose, are you going to get your accommodations? No, I'm not going to get my accommodations. I don't plan on losing fantasy football. So that's really where my two big stress points are for high school. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Since you only
went to high school for 5 days?
Yeah, I really definitely had a non-traditional experience in high school.
I think you missed out on, like, the best 4 years of, like, life.
I mean, I went to prom. I went to
17 different proms. No one has gone to more proms than me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, whoa, like, Gunner.
Yeah, I know. That's how much I loved high school. I was like, that was the man in high school. At least I thought of myself as the man.
Glory days.
Yes, the glory days. And then the dream, once I turned 19, the dream ended.
Downhill.
And then we went to college. So I'll let you talk a little bit about college here since I took the spotlight in high school.
Yes. Well, I love college.
Because you didn't go to high school.
Maybe. Actually, I'm repping my college. Go Rams. Because I wish I was going back in a couple weeks. But I think in college, it's such a big transition, obviously, for anyone. It's like this transition into independence. Mm-hmm. But for CF, it's that added transition of now you're really on your own for your care and monitoring how you feel. That was like really new for me. And I failed quite miserably my first semester of college just managing my time well enough to get all my treatments in. But I did talk to my dean ahead of time. So it made it much easier for me when I was hospitalized my first semester of college to still finish all of my classes and get all of my work done because my professors already knew. Yeah. And I think it's really important to establish that early on.
Oh yeah, for sure. I sort of feel like it's a rite of passage for people to see up to be hospitalized their freshman year of college, because that happened to me also. it undoubtedly will happen. Because you're right, learning how to manage your time is probably the most difficult thing in the whole process. Because for at least when I went to real high school, my day was so regimented. You know, I'd wake up, I'd do treatments, I'd go to school for 6 hours, then I'd play sports, and then I'd come home, do homework, eat dinner, do treatments, go to sleep. That was like my day. That's your day 95% of the year. And in college, all of a sudden, you wake up, you have 3 hours before you go to class. You go to class for only 2 hours out of the day. You got to figure out how to eat, feed yourself. You also got to figure out how to do something with your body to make yourself active. And then you got to join a club, do something social. Like, for the first time in my life, I felt like I had choices. And that was definitely a very difficult thing for me to manage, and to the point where I got sick. So, to your point, talking to at least at Boston College, we called the Dean of the Students with Disabilities. And that person basically was our liaison to our professors and other deans throughout the college that helped us succeed and put us on a level playing field. They gave us the ability to choose classes before everyone else. I'm not sure if you had that same experience.
I did.
They basically let us live wherever we wanted to. We had first choice of the housing situation. At Boston College, you lived on campus 3 years out of the 4 years. So I was able to choose where I wanted to live those three years. And then they also gave me the ability to, if I had to have an excused absence, they gave me an unlimited number of excused absences, which I can promise you right now that I never once abused that.
Yes. But that's sarcasm?
I don't know. That's for you to decide. But that dealing with students for disabilities was definitely my catalyst to succeed at Boston College, for sure.
Yeah, I would say the same. I had the same accommodation set up for me and was able to choose my classes so that I never felt like I was dragging myself out of bed and skipping treatments to get to a class on time, early mornings. That was so important for me because that transition was really rough for me. Because college was also the first time I was living with other girls, and it was more in my face that they weren't doing treatments and I was. And that's when I started to slack. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to go talk with everyone in the living room too.
I totally understand. I think living with people for the first time also opens your eyes to the way other people live normally. And for someone with CF, that's going to be an eye-opening experience because you're going to suddenly realize that there's people out there that they are not doing treatments 4 hours out of the day. They're not taking pills every time they go to eat something. So that's a difficult thing to maybe a hurdle to get over because you're being exposed to something new. You're seeing the other side of life. But at the same time, those new roommates very quickly became my biggest support system. Whether it was 2 weeks later that all of a sudden as soon as I would kind of go into my room to be doing treatments, they were also in there with me, making sure I didn't feel like I was alone. So if you want to learn more about my college roommates, you can go listen to my college roommate podcasts, which are, you can make up your mind on how good they are. I think they're a little weak, but people love them. They're great. So if you want to look
some
at them, if you want to check those out, I'll put that link on the bottom of this, the blog page here. More on the dorm here. I think, cleaning supplies is a really important thing for the dorm.
Yes.
I have very vivid memories of my mom refusing to leave the dorm room until she knew that the entire room had been scrubbed down at least once under her supervision. She was always the last person to leave on drop-off day, if all four years. I mean, she wouldn't let me move on to college by myself once out of those 4 years.
Yeah, my mom, same way. Lysol in hand, just...
Oh yeah, the amount of bleach that was used in those rooms is definitely an unhealthy thing in its own right. But at the same time, it made everyone feel good about the fact that for that one moment, that one brief moment in time, there was no dust, mold, or grossness. Because like college, I think that's probably why we all get hospitalized because the college dorms are just absolutely disgusting. Like there's no way to get around that. Absolutely no way to get around that. Those are our tips. If you have any tips that you like that we maybe missed or that we didn't share, definitely send us an email, leave us a comment, message, something like that. But I want to move on to the Making It Matter segment here because we're sort of running out of time. So I want to talk about Madison Manning. He's 19 years old with CF. And last week, the Ole Miss football team used him as an honorary coach, which I thought was pretty cool. He was out there coaching the football team and as a coach myself, I can say that's probably pretty awesome, especially at the college level and especially a big-time football program like Ole Miss. That's a really cool thing. So thanks to Ole Miss for doing that, and good job, Madison. We definitely want to keep watching you.
Yeah, awesome. So great. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the 6th episode of Making It Matter. Remember, you can follow along with our bi-monthly podcast via Gunner's YouTube channel on GunnerEsiason.com or on JuliaRay.com. If you want to see us post about something specific, you can always send us an email at GunnersBlog@Esiason.org or JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com or just send us a message on Facebook.
Great job reading that today. So this is Gunner Esiason from Julia Ray signing off, and we will catch you later.